And I believe we are on paper nine.
Good afternoon, everyone. The agenda paper nine is a finalization of the tentative agenda decision that was discussed in November 2013 Interpretations Committee meeting. The topic is on the distinction between a changing accounting policy and a changing accounting estimate. We received a submission from ESMA because distinction between a changing accounting policy and a changing accounting estimate is not necessarily clear, and also this distinction is very important for a couple of reasons. One, the criteria for change is different.
Has joined the conference.
For changing accounting policy, IAS 8 states that an entity shall change an accounting policy only if the change results in the financial statements providing reliable and more relevant information. However, this criteria for change does not exist for changing accounting estimate under IAS 8, although IFRS 13 requires that a change in valuation technique or application is appropriate if the change results in a measurement that is equally or more representative of fair value in the circumstances. And also, the disclosure requirement is different. For changing policy, IAS 8 states that the reason why applying the new accounting policy provides reliable and more relevant information should be disclosed. However, this disclosure requirement does not exist for change in accounting estimate. Although the criteria for change does not exist for changing accounting estimate under IAS 8, we consider that the changing accounting estimate should never be the free choice, and the agenda decision contains the following wording. Regardless of the type of change, the interpretation committee thinks that a change in method of estimation should only be made if that change produces reliable and more relevant information. And we received comment letters and two comment letters addressing this paragraph on the agenda decision. One comment letter from ESMA appreciated our decision and emphasized that the change in method of estimation should only be made if that change produces more reliable and relevant information. On the other hand, the other comment letter stated that we should remove this paragraph because they think that it is not appropriate to extrapolate the criteria for change from changing accounting policy. We propose retaining the paragraph because it emphasizes very important point for financial reporting. Changing estimate is not a free choice. At the same time, we made small editorial change so that the wording become more consistent with IFRS 13. So the interpretation committee already decided to raise this issue to IASB's attention. However, we'd like to issue this agenda decision as well, based on what can be said based on the existing standard, because disclosure project would take more time. So first, we'd like to issue the agenda decision, and then, from a little longer perspective, we'd like to bring the issue to IASB. Thank you very much.
Just before we go to start, we have Fei Long, John, and Julie. Are you one at a time? Fei Long, I heard you sign in.
Yes, I'm here.
John? Okay, and Julie?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Comments on the agenda decision and the proposed change?
Goes to the fourth paragraph and that sentence of that to which you have made a change. I think it doesn't work with the leading then, because it says regardless of the type of change. And we know that for changes in accounting policy, it requires that the change produce reliable and more relevant information, not equally or more relevant information. So I think that the beginning of the sentence is misleading. because it may conflict with what, I don't understand what you say, why you say regardless of the type of change. Not to be confused. The fact that you have added equally and the fact that you have regardless of the type of change, which may cover changes in accounting policies.
Right. At the
is
same
this agenda decision modifying the requirements in paragraph 14 of IS 8 with respect to changes in accounting policies to say that if you want to have a change in accounting policy, as long as it produces equally relevant information, you're fine. This is not what is written in paragraph 14. So, the beginning of that sentence needs to be changed.
So, regardless of the type of change, so that point.
This is what is causing the problem.
In other words, we should make sure we're not extrapolating that to capture policy, change in policy as well, because that wouldn't be appropriate.
What's the referring to previous sentence in the agenda?
Rather than to changes in accounting policy.
That's the intention.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe we've not been as precise.
Right.
Charlotte?
I don't think I agree with what the staff saying. I supported the second comment letter who said we did seem to be extrapolating. And we're now extrapolating from what it says in IFRS 13, which even then still says something slightly different than what's in the agenda. The requirements for estimation is that they are just reasonable, not that they then changes. And so the implication is it could be more reasonable, and maybe that's why you should change it. But it did seem a bit of a jump to say they had to be, the phrasing is, more reliable, for example, which I just didn't think was in the standard.
IFRS 13 is saying that a change in valuation technique or its application is appropriate if the change results in measurement that is equally or more representative of fair value.
Which is different from reliable and relevant. And it's also you're using a specific requirement for a certain type of estimate, for certain types of change estimate to sort of imply for the whole wider population. You can go from general to specific, but not from specific to general, in my understanding.
What we are saying in the agenda decision is only for the method-based estimation. So the change in estimation can be derived from the change in data or change in method of estimation. So the method of estimation is already, I think, narrow.
No, I think this is similar to a conversation we had yesterday. Philippe?
Yeah, I think I heard, and maybe Laurence, you can confirm my understanding. I heard Laurence saying, if you say regardless of the type, that means the two regimes applicable to changes in accounting policy and changes in accounting estimate are the same.
Which is not what it's intended to say, but
right. It's not. So I think the problem is when we say regardless, or if we say the same applies, then it cannot be equally relevant or equally reliable, because the principle for change in accounting policies is it has to be more reliable or more relevant, pardon me, after the change, right? So if you align the two regimes to the same level, that means a change in accounting estimate has to be also something that produces more relevant information. Now, it may be that you may wish to say there are two different regimes, one creating more relevant information for changes in accounting policy, and one creating equally relevant information for change in accounting methods and estimates. I do not take exception to that, it's your decision, but I think the logics here doesn't flow very well in this paragraph, because it cannot say equally under a heading saying regardless.
Andrew and Tony?
Yeah, I think we need to probably just delete the words regardless of the change.
Yeah.
I think we've got to distinguish between a change in the method of estimation and a change to the inputs. You need to update your estimates as a matter of routine,
right,
with additional recognition criteria.
Yeah. Right. To give you permission to change your estimate, you've got to change your estimate. I think we're trying to be narrowly focused on changing the method of estimate.
Tony?
When you say you change your estimate, as a result of which you can expect the new estimate to be more relevant than the previous one?
Well, I think, depending on which standard we're dealing with, where the estimate's coming from, we need to make sure that our latest estimate is the best estimate, but that can depend on the type of information we have available from one period to the next. I don't think we'd go with an out-of-date estimate just because we thought, you know, the inputs were more reliable if the information is out-of-date on the balance of evidence, for example.
So, but is the fact that the new estimate provides a better depiction of what you tried to measure or estimate than the previous estimate, is that a condition for changing, I suppose?
Well, I think what this says could be read to do is, like I say, to introduce additional recognition criteria that you have to meet in order to make your estimate more up to date. And I'm not sure that's how I would think about it. Overall, it needs to be the best estimate.
Tony?
Yeah. It's a. I guess I would make a related point because there's a couple of things at play here, and I do agree that we've probably analogized to guidance somewhere else in developing this. But what I thought we had said previously was that two things can happen to an estimate. You can change the inputs. So you just use up-to-date interest rate, exchange rate, demographic, whatever it is, information. And that's not necessarily something you need to make a big song and dance about. You just use current information. If it's a big change, maybe you say something, but it's assumed you use current information. But then you might also change the method that you use in order to make the estimate. And you might use a different model or a different technique to estimate whether it's fair value or expected future cash outflows or whatever it might be. And I thought where we'd landed before is that we'd said, you don't make that change unless you are changing to something that provides you with a better estimate. And I thought that's where the committee had landed before and what the staff had tried to capture.
And that was the use of the word regardless. And we've lost the precedent of what regardless was referring to, obviously. At least that was my understanding.
The sentence contradicts itself. It says regardless. Yeah. Type of change, but it goes on to talk about
narrowly about a method, change in the method.
Mm. Yeah, point taken. Reinhardt?
My comment is similar to that of Charlotte's, which is we're taking something very specific out of IFRS 13, which is about the change in the measurement of fair value, and that it says it's appropriate if it results in equally or more representative of fair value, and making a general statement out of that, which is really not an IS-8. And so although this does reflect our discussion last time, I have some concern about that. I think nonetheless, and it has to be good disclosure, which is really what the rest of this discussion in the draft agenda decision gets to. So as I say, I'm a bit concerned about going from something very specific and making a general statement out of it that's not specifically an IS-8.
Charlotte, did you want to come in again?
Yeah, the terminology I would use is that an estimate is the result of your method of estimation. But I thought here we were talking about changing your method of estimation, not changing your estimates. But then I think a change of your method of estimation is different again from a change of accounting policy. Now the change of accounting policy has the strict guidance. The changes estimation, it just isn't really discussed, and an estimate has to be reasonable. So if you have any estimation method that gives you a reasonable estimate, I don't think there's any guidance on what that has to be. So for example, if you decided your estimation technique methodology currently was just so onerous and burdensome that you could still get to a reasonable estimate by doing a quicker, maybe less accurate version, but still reasonable, I don't think there's anything that necessarily says you can't do that.
Shouldn't you explain that you've
done? Yeah, you can explain. Yeah, I don't mind that you can explain, but it's the question is, you still can do it, unlike a policy where you'd need to, you couldn't do it.
But isn't that the question the staff are trying? So I think we've probably, I sense people are agreeing you ought to disclose it. I thought the point that that we'd made last time was that you can't just change your method of estimation if what you end up with is worse than it was before. And I think there are two distinct points here. One is the disclosure issue that I sense people are agreed with, but the question before that is there's nothing that defines the estimation method you must use, but if you're going to change the method, should there be any sort of constraint around changing to one that is less accurate? Because that, I think, is what the staff sentence says, that you must change to something that is at least as good as what you had before.
Charlotte, back to you. Other than cost benefit, why would you change to something that you knew going in was worse? Kind of a loaded question.
You might know that you might have been using a valuation service to do the number. You might want to do it in-house. You might want to do a consistent methodology across an entire range of, of assets and liabilities. And the only way you can do consistent, the common denominator, is to do one methodology.
But Charlotte, I think the IFRS 30 is saying that if you have variation methodology or changing application of the methodology, the results should equally or more.
But we're not just talking about fair value though here. I mean, I know that's obviously my normal background, but we're talking about in general estimates.
Yeah.
I think I know what IFRS 13
right.
says, sadly, but.
I think
sadly.
Many valuation can be under IFRS 13.
But that you're then pushing all of estimates into IFRS 13 and all the criteria and all the sort of the stuff that goes around estimates in IFRS 13, which is very different. You're going to have unobservable inputs for every type of estimate. I mean.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily saying all types of the estimation can be under IFRS 13. At the same time, in many cases, especially for this kind of changing method of estimation is related to IFRS 13. That's my understanding.
But then if it is, you say in those circumstances where you're right. covered by IFRS 13, you apply IFRS 13. If you're not covered by IFRS 13, you don't, unless we want to add in that we think that should be the applicable.
Right. I mean, the same kind of concept, IFRS 13 is requiring explicitly the results should be equally or more representative of fair value. I think same kind of principle should be applied for other kind of estimation as well, if the estimation is a changing method of estimation.
Well, except, two observations here, except that when the board did IFRS 13, they did not do consequential amendments of all the other places that use accounting estimates. So we might wish that were true, but it isn't. So we can't always get what you want. The other point, and then I'll go to the phones, that I think Charlotte is saying is, we're not really arguing here about the answer to the question that we were asked. Mm-hmm. If I read the first paragraph of the agenda decision, we were asked to clarify the distinction between a policy change and an estimate change. And what we're arguing about now, I don't hear anybody saying is a policy change. We're arguing about different types of estimate changes. So what I hope we can keep on that. Scott, did I trigger something there?
Well, one of the reasons why I think we went down this road is essentially to say, you asked, how do we tell the difference between a policy change and a change in estimate? And, part of our answer is, why do you care so much? And one of the reasons was, change in policy has to be preferable. Change in estimate doesn't. And, we kind of all said, well, that's not entirely true. You can't just say, I'm going to change my estimate to a worse estimate. That isn't allowed. And so we were trying to clarify that, one of the reasons why the regulators are concerned about the difference, you know, we think is not really a big deal, because you cannot have a free choice, as Koichiro said. It's not a free choice when it's a change in estimate.
Laurence, and then I'm going to the phones.
I think that we have literature that details when you're facing a change in accounting policy, what to do. We don't have much literature for changes in estimates, what is acceptable for changes in estimates. So I'm not sure that I completely agree with what Scott said. And that by adding that sentence, even if personally I like the outcome where this is going, I wonder whether we are not borderline and whether this should not be presented as an annual improvement.
I had a quick sentence.
That sentence, that saying, that change in the method of estimation should only be made if that change produces reliable or equally or more relevant information.
Am I correct? That was in the original.
That was in the exposed tentative agenda decision.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the only change is the words equally or.
Right. I mean, it's weaker. This change makes it.
Equally or makes it weaker.
Makes it weaker. Yeah. I don't mean to say weaker as in less good. I mean, it's a less stringent test the way we're changing it, which I think is fine. But I think we all agreed that a change in estimate cannot be to a worse estimate.
Okay. May I go to the phones first, please? Fei Long?
Yes. I tend to agree with this because IFRS 13, paragraph 65 mentioned value method can be changed. The change results in measurement that is equal or more. Even some of the members have other concerns. Only comments I have here is that at the paragraph 4 of the proposal rejected notice looks like it's redundant. Last two sentences say the same. IAS A39 requires disclosure of change in method. The second last sentence appears superfluous. The last sentence is clear on that point. Yeah.
Okay, John?
I like the change, but I think it's actually a change and not something that's currently in the standards. And I don't think you can read across from the requirement in IFRS 13 for changing evaluation technique to a broader principle or requirement for changing your method of estimation. I think it would be better to, if we wanted to go down that path, I think it would be an annual improvement. It would be better, I think, in the rejection to focus on the disclosure requirements where you make a change in the method of estimation rather than setting requirements for when you can make that change that I don't think exist in IASA.
I'm seeing heads nodding in agreement with that. Julie?
I don't know if this is helpful, but there's a lot of words in that paragraph to capture the notion that, I guess the way Scott said it, that the whole message is, you know, you shouldn't be switching to an estimate that's worse, which is kind of the negative way, reciprocal way of saying it must be reliable and equally or more relevant. I don't know if it just sounds better or more workaday and less like an amendment to the standard if you just articulated it as, you know, but by the way, we discuss fact or observe the fact, you know, you shouldn't be switching to something that's worse. If that framing somehow gets the message across but seems less troubling.
Okay, I think I understood that. In other words, you think it's primarily a wording problem?
yeah, I don't hear people objecting to the idea that the committee might observe that, you know, you can't switch, you know, by the way, as we worked through this, we also figured out when you're switching estimates, you know, you shouldn't be switching to something that's worse. I don't hear people objecting to that notion or conveying that notion, and maybe just say it that simply, you know. What I hear is the way it's articulated now, it's constructed like it really is, you know, expanding the standard to John's point, as opposed to saying it in a more practical way. You know, we also talked the fact that it shouldn't be worse. That just seems more, as reporting part of the discussion for the good of the order, but yet largely conveys, you know, the same sentiment without maybe the baggage that the more formal articulation seems to bring with it.
Yeah, I'm waiting for somebody to ask me for the definition of worse, but I'll let that go. Philippe?
I think Tony said something very important, which possibly could be useful to pick up in the decision. I think you said, Tony, that when you change an accounting estimate, there can be two types of changes: updating the inputs without changing the nature of the inputs, or changing the method of calculating your estimate, or even possibly changing the nature of the inputs that go into this method. And it seems to me that just updating the input without changing the nature is not a change in estimate. But changing the nature of the input, or changing the method that you apply to those inputs, the model that you apply, is a change in method, which is akin to a change in policy. And we are seeing here the same regime applies. It has to be disclosed the same way as a change in policy. It has to produce more relevant, or equally relevant, but I think it's more relevant information than the previous method. And I think this clarification might be useful if it was picked up in the agenda decision.
Okay, thank you. Let me see if I understand what we're going to tell Fort Cachero to do. Point one is as Charlotte said, can't generalize or can't extrapolate from specific to general. So the stuff that's in 13 is in 13, but it's not anyplace else. So we can't make that a general principle. Any objections to that? Okay. Point two is we've got some wording problems around the word regardless and that sentence that we need to work at. But I don't hear a lot of support for adding the words equally or. I just am opposed to adverbs. It doesn't. If it was equally, why would I change? So
maybe if the data became easier to get.
Okay. Let's go with it. Just show of hands. With or without? With equally or? Without equally or, don't care. I think it's about the wash between the three of them. Let's leave it the way it was originally.
That means taking out equally or?
Yeah.
So if you left it as equally or,
you're more likely to, if you then followed on, to emphasize the fact that if it's equally or, you'd get a disclosure about it.
The disclosure is triggered by the change, though. The
right,
equally
but
or
it,
is about whether you make the change.
Whether it's considered a change.
No, whether you make the change. So whether you make a change in your method of estimation.
So if I go from one method to another and it's equally relevant, or it's equally relevant, it's not a change. It has
but
to be more relevant.
That
to
would be a change. If you've got a change
would.
In methodology.
That wouldn't be a change.
That would be. So the equally or is about whether or not it's acceptable to make the change.
Right.
Having concluded that it is acceptable to make the change, you then trigger the disclosure about that change.
I'm missing something.
This is the ultimate standard setting geek.
You cannot make it change.
Argument here. Reinhardt?
Just following up on the point Charlotte and a couple of us have made, if we now change back to going produces reliable and more relevant information, are we now in conflict with IFRS 1365? Because a valuation technique is an estimate, produces an estimate of fair value. And so that's, I think, the crux of the issue. By taking the specific wording in IFRS 13, which is specific to measurements of fair value, as others have said, and then trying to extrapolate that to IS 8 when IS 8 wasn't changed for changes in IFRS 13, although I think we all don't necessarily object to that. I'm just wondering if we're going to run afoul of what we're intending to do, some, or call it unintended consequences. Because as I say, if we now say it produces reliable or more relevant information, I wonder if someone might say that conflicts with paragraph 65.
So we'd say, notwithstanding the specific requirements of IFRS 13, yada, 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 yada. That would be the better way to do it. Murat?
My question was in relation to your first conclusion that IFRS 13 cannot be generalized. And I wasn't sure about that sentence. I mean, that sentence, it's not so much the problem of whether you have equally or inside that sentence of not, or not. It's whether you should have that sentence, the whole sentence, in the agenda decision, or whether that sentence should be part of an annual improvement. And to me, I would support adding that sentence to IS 8 through an annual improvement. Because I keep reading IS 8 for changes in accounting estimates, and the only thing it says, the use of reasonable estimates is an essential part of the preparation of financial statements and does not undermine their reliability. An estimate may need revision if changes occur in circumstances. Okay, that's it. So it's only you only have paragraph 33. Let's just say reasonable estimate. That's all it says.
So you would, you're kind of going the other way. How is it we call it an annual improvement to say we're going to make a consequential amendment as a result of another standard? If the board had wanted to generalize what it said in 13, shouldn't it? That strikes me as more than an annual improvement.
Just because I like the idea. But I'm not sure that an agenda decision is the right place.
Charlotte?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. If it's too big for an annual improvement, surely it's too big for putting it in the agenda decision.
Not if we don't make the consequential.
Well, no, it's that regardless bit.
Well,
is a change. It's a change for what's in.
My proposal had been to rework that to say, notwithstanding the specific requirements in 13 that apply to estimates in the context of fair value, IASA goes a different direction, and therefore...
Only in respect of policies. It doesn't go anywhere in respect of accounting estimates. I mean, okay, we should have picked it up the first time we released this, but I think the comment letters made me reread it and realise it doesn't say that in IASA. And okay, I think it should, personally. I think there should be some requirements for changing your accounting, your method of estimation. But it doesn't actually say it.
Since we're all actually in the same place, the only thing we are disagreeing about is whether we can include this requirement in an agenda decision, or should it be an annual improvement.
Right.
Or a targeted.
Yeah. Or a targeted narrow scope amendment or whatever. But I think that's the only place that we're disagreeing at the moment.
Yeah. All right. Pardon me?
We all like it, yeah.
We all like what you said.
And I suppose the question being, do we need to change the standard to be able to make this sort of statement?
Well,
Yes.
Well, otherwise.
That's the question, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, now, the question board members will ask when Michael and Pichiro go before them. Now that I live in the United States, I don't do that anymore. why is this trip necessary? Why do we need to make this change? We were. What? How do we make that case?
I think
because we've escalated. So, Tony.
Sorry, Wayne. I thought you'd finished your question. I was going to attempt to answer it.
That's what I was hoping.
Yeah. I think the regulators have pointed out that the information given when there is a change in estimate, particularly if it's quite close to being a change in estimate or a change in policy, and we accept there's a not necessarily a bright line, the disclosures given when there's a change in estimate are not as good as they might be.
Right.
The committee, in considering it, thought that actually not only is there potentially an issue with the disclosures, we felt there ought to be some guidance around whether or not it's appropriate to change the method that you use to estimate, and that that would be an improvement to IAS 8 to say, to use Scott's words, you can't change to an estimate that's worse than the one you were using before. And I think that's pretty much what I've heard the people around the table saying. Is that, feel free to correct me, but that's what I think we're saying.
Scott, and then Ron.
One of the reasons why I don't think we need to change the standard is because, forgive me, but I think we can assume that common sense applies. and common sense would say you don't change your way of doing something if the result is doing it worse. I mean, I recall giving a speech once where I said that when you make judgments in accounting, you need to make them with good faith. Somebody in the audience said, where does GAAP say I have to apply good faith when I make judgments? I said, I wish I knew who wrote this, because I'd want to take away your license. I mean, that's what I feel like here. Really? You thought it was okay to change to something that is not that you know is worse? But if we feel like we need to change the standard, so be it, you know, to change for the better. But I really have trouble with the notion that unless we tell somebody you can't make things worse, they can make things worse.
Laurent?
You need to remember the background of the ESMA submission and all the cases they had in their submission. And I recall one of them, which is how to determine post-employment benefit liabilities and discount rates and the population you use and the extrapolations. How do you do the extrapolation of the population using different techniques, and if you change from one technique to another, and so on and so on and so on. And I must say that by that sentence that is proposed in this agenda decision, it is helpful and would help putting some limits to some practices of changing the extrapolation methodologies just like that, regardless of what Scott said. So this is why I like what we would achieve with that sentence. But to be fair to constituents, I'm afraid it's one step beyond what is in the literature.
Martin, and then Todd, and then I'm going to put a ribbon on this.
Estimation techniques may be extremely expensive. Maybe. Depends. It might also be that you found out another methodology which simplifies dramatically your approach. And I assume that everyone is applying a cost-benefit analysis. So it might be that although you have even a less weaker, say, information content, you change your methodology And the question is, would this be allowed or not? If we would add this sentence, we would automatically come to the conclusion, no, it wouldn't be allowed. I'm not sure about the overall, well, idea, which was beyond the saying of IRS 8 with regard to change in accounting estimates of the board. So we really have to carefully consider, well, what is really our thinking and what is really our belief. Theoretically, agree, you always should try for the very best. On the other hand, we also argue that cost-benefit analysis is important.
Tom?
Yeah, thank you. As an enforcer, we would like that something is in the standard or in the rejection note where it states that a estimate shouldn't be less good or something like that, because we all understand that you shouldn't do that, that it is not faithful maybe, but people go back to the standard, and a judge, when we have to go to court, will go back to the standard, and then they would raise the question, where does it state? Now here we have the discussion, this discussion is in public, so when it is not included, people might argue that you can provide a less better estimate, so we prefer to include something in the rejection note or in standard. Thank you.
Okay. I hear a consensus that less good or worse, whatever, is not acceptable, but I think everybody recognized cost benefit trade-offs. Spending $500 to get an estimate that is only one better clearly doesn't seem to meet any kind of a test. Our choices are, I think, two. I don't think this is an annual improvement. If we take it, it would be a limited scope amendment. Or we do some heavy duty rewording and leave it as an agenda decision. How many think it should be a limited amendment? Propose a limited scope amendment.
Sorry, sir.
How many would support proposing to the board a limited scope amendment?
My hand is up as well.
Okay.
We can't see.
That's 7 out of 13.
That's not enough.
That's majority.
That's all we need.
Well, in terms of, yes, it is all that we need to propose or to make a recommendation to the board.
Okay. How many would, thank you, Scott, for your advice, how many would object to proposing it to the board as a limited scope amendment? Anybody on the phone objects? Okay. Please, whoever.
I think that was a no.
That was
they
a
don't
no.
Object.
Okay. Now, and the reason to rehearse here a minute, because we've really beaten this way beyond what it needed, I think. The reason we're proposing this as a narrow scope amendment rather than as a lateral to the disclosure initiative is because we think it is a more pressing problem?
Yes.
Yeah.
As Ezra has said, it's...
Why did you conclude it can't be an annual
improvement? Seems to me, when I think annual improvements, I think editorial changes.
Yeah, it's supposed to be clarifications.
Not consequential amendments. Yeah. So. Okay, Sandy, and then this, you're absolutely the last.
And this... When we say it will be one or the other, it will be this language.
No, we'll work the language, and the board will want to have a say in the language. But the proposal will be, as I articulated it, subject to cost-benefit constraints, you can't change to something that is a worse estimate than the one that you had before. So equally or was not part of my articulation. It was you have to be as good as subject to cost benefit, as the one you had before.
Which is the same thing as saying equally or, right? That's what I'm trying to get at. Is it? Because many times when you make an estimate, you don't know if it's better or not. You hope it is, but you don't know that. We've talked about this as though you know when you make that estimate, that you know that. And to me, that's sort of what I've struggled with, is that, you know, just because you may have to change methods because data may not be available in the method you were using before. Is that then not an equally valid method? That's not a change in estimate? That's what I'm struggling with. Because to me,
that is a change in estimate because the way the method you used to use
has now become unreliable.
Yeah.
Because there ain't no data.
Okay, so because it's unreliable.
So you have to change.
But it's only, I can't switch methods and have it be equally reliable and be told that that's a, have a disclosure that that's a change. Because some people have changed methods of estimation that they have believed had been equally or more reliable. It hasn't been disclosed very sufficiently. And then people are not aware that that change is made. So for me, I like the equally or in there because people will then have more items included in the need to make that disclosure. I know you said that's not true, but I can't articulate it very well, but I just think there are instances where there will be changes where they will be equally, but people would want to know that.
We were going to ask for the disclosure anyway,
and that's
right.
In this agenda
right.
decision,
yeah.
regardless
yeah.
of
anyway.
The criteria for making the change.
Right.
I thought we were going to say you've got to make the disclosures anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that was only if you considered it to be a change, and for it to be considered to be a change, it had to be more relevant.
No. The change is a change.
You change if you change.
Right. Yeah.
But then we said those you couldn't make a change.
Correct.
Yeah. If it's less relevant,
right.
You can't.
No, but it has. I'm saying it's. If I agree, you can't make a change if it's less relevant, but you can make a change if it's equally relevant, and that's considered a change in estimate.
Right. Yes. Right.
Okay.
And requires disclosure as well.
And requires
right.
the disclosure. Okay.
Because
yep. Agreed. But when we were taking it out, we were saying if it was equally relevant, it wouldn't be considered a change.
No.
Well, agreed.
Okay. Are we up for a break?
I'm up for one.
We weren't doing so well.